This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to choose the right communication medium for a difficult workplace conversation. The medium you pick shapes the outcome before you say a word. In short, the communication medium you choose for a difficult workplace conversation shapes the outcome before you speak a single word. Richer channels carry tone, body language, and real-time response. Leaner ones strip all of that away and leave the other person to fill the silence with their worst assumptions. Match the emotional weight of the conversation to the richness of the medium. In person is almost always the right starting point for anything high stakes. When a lean medium is unavoidable, compensate with extra clarity and explicit warmth. Definition: communication medium for a difficult conversation refers to the channel you choose to deliver a sensitive, high stakes or emotionally charged message at work, whether in person, video, phone, email, or text, and the degree to which that channel supports tone, nuance, and real-time human connection. I once watched a manager spend 2 careful hours drafting an email to address a performance problem with a team member she deeply respected. The words were precise. The tone was considered. She hit send, felt relieved, and went home. The next morning, the team member had forwarded the email to HR, convinced she was being pushed out. The conversation that followed was 10 times harder than the one the manager had avoided. The wrong medium had turned a difficult conversation into a crisis. Choosing the right communication medium for a difficult workplace conversation is not a minor detail. It is often the difference between a conversation that repairs something and one that breaks it further. And Say It Right Every Time, I cover this in Chapter 11 under what I call the communication medium richness hierarchy, a rant model for matching your channel to the weight of what you need to say. In this article, I will walk you through that hierarchy alongside 3 supporting frameworks that give you a complete system for preparing, executing, and recovering from hard conversations, whatever the medium. The communication medium richness hierarchy. Matching channel to emotional weight. Not all channels carry the same information. This is the core insight of the communication medium richness hierarchy, as outlined in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time. The model ranks 5 channels from richest to leanest based on how much of a human signal they can carry. Framework 1. The Communication Medium Richness Hierarchy. What it is? A rant model that helps you select the communication channel that fits the difficulty level of the conversation you need to have. The harder the topic, the richer the medium you need. How it works. Number 1. In person richest. You have tone, facial expression, body language, eye contact, and the ability to pause, read the room, and respond in real time. Use this for performance issues, relationship repairs, disciplinary conversations, and anything where emotion runs high. Number 2. Video call. You keep most of the visual cues and real-time response. Strong second choice when in person is not possible. Sufficient for moderately difficult conversations across distance. Number 3. Phone call. You lose the visual layer but keep voice tone, pace, and live response. Better than any written channel for emotional topics. The human voice carries nuance that text simply cannot. Number 4. Email. You gain precision and a written record, but you lose tone, timing, and the ability to respond to distress in the moment. Use for low-stakes issues or to document what was already said in a richer conversation. Number 5. Text message leanest. Appropriate for logistics and quick, low-stakes exchanges only. Never for anything difficult. A difficult conversation sent by text is an invitation for misreading. When to use this framework? Every time you are about to start a difficult conversation, before you decide how to reach out, when not to use it. This is not a rigid rule that bans email entirely. Sometimes geography, scheduling, or the need for a written record makes a leaner medium necessary. The framework tells you when that is a trade-off and how to compensate. Worked example. You need to tell a colleague that their behavior in yesterday's meeting was inappropriate. Your instinct is to send a message so you do not have to face the discomfort directly. The hierarchy says this conversation carries emotion, potential defensiveness, and relationship stakes. It needs in-person or at minimum a video call. Send a short note asking to meet rather than delivering the substance in writing. Eamon's note. Here is the truth of it. The channel you choose sends a message before your words do. Walking into someone's office says this matters to me. An email says I would rather not deal with this in real time. The other person feels that before they read a single sentence. When the written word has its place. I do not want you to think that email and written communication have no role in difficult conversations. They do. But they require craft and clear intention. The problem I see most often is people using written channels not because they are the right tool, but because they are easier than showing up. That is a different thing entirely. For written communication to serve a difficult conversation well, you need to compensate for what the channel strips away. You can learn more about tone in email communication and how handling complaints and feedback via email requires deliberate construction of warmth and precision. When tone cannot be heard, it must be built into every sentence. Script 115 from Say It Right Every Time gives you a formal template for difficult emails. State the issue, name the facts clearly and objectively, describe the specific impact, make a concrete request, and close with a genuine offer to continue the conversation in person. What that script cannot do is replace the conversation. It can accompany one, prepare one, or document one. It cannot substitute for one. There is also a case for putting things in writing before a difficult in-person conversation. If you are concerned that someone may later deny what happened, a written record of your recollection, sent to yourself or a trusted colleague, anchors you to reality. I describe this in Chapter 11 as a defense against gaslighting, which is the denial of another person's experience. When someone later says that is not what happened, you have a record that says otherwise. The master method. Preparing for the conversation before you choose a word. Most difficult conversations go wrong not because the person lacks courage, but because they lack preparation. They walk in knowing roughly what they want to say and hoping it will come out right. It rarely does. Structure built before the conversation is the only reliable protection against defaulting to your worst habits under pressure. Framework 2. The master method. What it is. A 6-step preparation and execution framework for high-stakes conversations, introduced in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time. The name stands for mental preparation, anticipating objections, structuring key points, timing the conversation, engaging with full presence, and reflecting afterward. How it works. Number 1. Mental preparation. Before you choose your medium or draft your opener, get your own head right. I call this negative visualization. Imagine the conversation going badly, picture your own reaction, and decide in advance how you will stay calm. Preparation is internal before it is external. Number 2. Anticipating objections. What will the other person push back on? Where will they feel threatened, defensive, or confused? Plan for those moments specifically. If you have not thought through the objections, the first one they raise will knock you off your script. Number 3. Structuring key points. 3 is the right number. More than 3 points in a difficult conversation and people stop listening. Choose your 3, put them in order, and stay with them. Number 4. Timing the conversation. A conversation about a sensitive topic at the end of a stressful Friday afternoon will not go well. Consider when the other person is most likely to be receptive. Consider your own state too. Number 5. Engaging with full presence. When the conversation begins, put the preparation away. Listen. Actually listen, not just wait for your turn. People who feel heard rarely explode. People who feel dismissed often do. Number 6. Reflecting afterward. What worked? What would you do differently? The reflection step is where you build genuine skill over time, not in the preparation room, but in the honest accounting after, when to use it. Any conversation with real stakes, a performance conversation, a boundary-setting discussion, a repair conversation after a falling out, when not to use it. You cannot run the full master process on a conversation that erupts unexpectedly. For those moments, you need a de-escalation tool, not a preparation tool. Worked example. You need to tell a direct report that their work has been consistently below standard and that this cannot continue. You run through master before the meeting. You settle your emotions first. You anticipate that they will say they were never told what was expected. You structure 3 clear points: the specific gap, the impact on the team, and the specific change required. You schedule the meeting for Tuesday morning, not Friday afternoon. You enter ready to listen as much as to speak. Eamon's note. Knowing what to do and actually doing it are 2 different things. I've said that many times because I've lived it many times. The master method gives you a path from knowing to doing. For more on how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team, the preparation principles here apply directly. The recover method. When the conversation goes off the rails. Some conversations do not go as planned. You prepared well. You chose the right medium. You timed it carefully. And it still went sideways. This happens. The question is not whether it will happen, but whether you know what to do when it does.
Framework 3.
The Recover Method.
What it is.
A 7-step recovery framework for conversations that have gone wrong. Also introduced in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time. The name stands for recognizing what went wrong, ending the conversation if needed, cooling down, owning your mistakes, validating the other person's experience, explaining your intent, and recommitting to the relationship.
How it works.
Number 1. Recognizing what went wrong. Before you can repair anything, you have to be honest about where it broke.
Did you escalate?
Did you go silent?
Did you say something you regret?
Number 2.
Ending if needed.
If a conversation is becoming destructive in real time, it is better to stop it than to let it deteriorate further.
Pausing is not weakness.
It is damage control.
Number 3. Cooling down.
Do not attempt to repair when you are still flooded with emotion. The repair will carry the heat of the original conversation and make things worse.
Number 4.
Owning your mistakes. Go first. Take responsibility for your part before you expect anything from the other person. This is the step most people skip, and it is the one that creates the most space for repair.
Number 5.
Validating experience. Not agreeing with someone's interpretation, but acknowledging that their experience is real and that it matters.
Number 6. Explaining intent.
Once you have owned your part and validated theirs, you can share what you were trying to accomplish, not as an excuse,
as information.
Number 7.
Recommitting to the relationship.
Name what you value. State that you want to move forward. Make it explicit.
When to use it.
After any conversation that ended badly, whether 5 minutes ago or 5 days ago, script 118 from Say It Right Every Time gives you an opener. I have been thinking about our conversation, and I do not feel good about how it went.
I said some things I regret, specifically what you said. I want to make this right.
Can we talk?
When not to use it.
Do not use recover as a way to reopen a conversation that actually resolved cleanly. Not every difficult conversation needs a debrief.
Worked example.
You lost your patience in a one-to-one meeting and said something sharper than you intended. The other person went quiet and the conversation ended with nothing resolved.
You cool down overnight.
The next morning, you own your words first. I said that badly, and I want to apologize.
Then you listen to their experience before explaining anything about your intent.
The conversation that follows has a chance.
Eamon's note.
A real apology requires 3 things: acknowledgement of what you did, recognition of the impact it had, and a genuine commitment to change. Anything shorter than that is not an apology.
It is a way of making yourself feel better.
See also how to de-escalate arguments during meetings for more on interrupting a conversation that is heading somewhere damaging.
A quick note before we continue.
Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblickthorne.com.
Now, back to the article. Choosing a framework for the moment you are in.
These 3 frameworks do not compete with each other. They cover different moments in the same arc before the conversation, during it, and after it breaks.
Here is how they map.
Situation framework to reach for. Planning a difficult conversation in advance, master method. Deciding which channel to use, communication medium richness hierarchy.
A conversation has escalated or ended badly, recover method.
You need a written record before a gaslighting risk, pre-conversation email or written note. A text or email thread is escalating, switch medium immediately, script 116. You are about to apologize, recover. Steps 4 and 7 specifically. A brief note on what the table cannot tell you: the right framework is the one that fits the actual situation, not the one you're most comfortable with. I have watched people reach for the written channel repeatedly, not because it was right, but because it felt safer.
Comfort is not a criterion.
Impact is. For team-level conflicts where multiple people are involved, the deal method for resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy and the core framework for staying grounded during tense conversations offer additional structure once you're inside the room.
Where people go wrong with medium selection.
Let me be honest about the errors I see most often.
These are not beginner mistakes.
They're the mistakes that experienced, well-meaning people make when pressure strips away their better judgment.
The mistake:
using email to avoid discomfort rather than to communicate clearly.
Why it happens: email feels controllable.
You can edit it.
You can delay sending it. You do not have to watch the other person's face. What to do instead?
Ask yourself whether you are choosing this channel because it is right for the conversation or because it protects you from it.
If it is the latter, switch the mistake.
Starting a difficult conversation by text and then trying to recover in person later.
Why it happens? Texts feel low stakes until they are not. Once a charged exchange begins in a lean medium, it can escalate before anyone realizes. What to do instead?
The moment a text conversation turns emotional, stop.
Use script 116.
This feels like a conversation we should have by phone or in person.
Text is not great for this kind of thing. When can we talk?
This single move can prevent hours of damage. You can read more about when emails fail and switching to other channels for a fuller treatment of this.
The mistake. Choosing a group setting for a conversation that should be private. Why it happens.
People sometimes think collective context will make a concern easier to raise.
It really does. What to do instead?
Anything that touches a specific person's behavior, performance, or conduct belongs in a private conversation first. Public conversations require extra care because the audience changes everything, as script 119 and Say It Right Every Time addresses directly. For a broader view of how to handle conflict during meetings and knowing which channel to choose between email, instant messaging, and phone, both are worth reading alongside this framework.
Building fluency. How real skill develops over time.
You will not master these frameworks the first time you use them.
That is not a failure. It is how practical skill works.
The gap between knowing what to do and actually doing it in a moment of pressure is real, and it only closes through repeated, honest practice.
Start with the hierarchy. Before your next difficult conversation, stop and ask which medium fits its emotional weight. That single question, asked deliberately before every hard conversation, will change your outcomes faster than any other habit. Then run the master preparation before the conversations that matter most. Not for every exchange, but for the ones where the stakes are high enough that a poor start is hard to recover from.
Over time, the preparation becomes faster and more natural.
Use recover when things go wrong, and do not wait.
The longer you leave a damaged conversation unaddressed, the harder the repair becomes. The discomfort of having the repair conversation is temporary. The regret of avoiding it lasts far longer.
The deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate is worth adding to your toolkit once you're confident with medium selection and preparation.
And if you want to understand the full depth of what these frameworks can do for high-stakes situations, Say It Right Every Time covers each of them in full, including the scripts, in Chapter 11.
What you carry forward. There is a moment before every difficult conversation when you make a choice, often without realizing it.
You pick up your phone and start typing, or you close it and walk down the hall instead.
That small choice shapes everything that follows.
The right communication medium for a difficult conversation is almost always the one that gives the other person the most access to your humanity, your tone, your face, your willingness to be present in real time.
When that is not possible, you compensate deliberately.
You write with precision and warmth.
You follow up with a call. You leave a door open for more.
This much I know for certain, no framework or model replaces courage.
They give structure to courage. They help you show up better prepared and recover more cleanly when things go wrong. But the showing up is still yours to do. Choose the right communication medium, prepare with care, and have the conversation.
Every time you avoid it, the weight of it grows. Frequently asked questions.
What is communication medium difficult conversation matching? Communication medium matching for a difficult conversation means selecting the channel, whether in person, video, phone, or email, that fits the emotional weight of what you need to say.
Richer mediums carry tone, body language, and nuance that leaner ones strip away, reducing misreading and defensive reactions. Why does choosing the wrong communication medium damage difficult conversations?
When you choose a lean medium like text or email for a high-stakes conversation, you remove tone, facial expression, and the chance to respond in real time.
The other person fills those gaps with their worst assumptions, turning a hard conversation into a damaging one before you've even begun.
When should you choose in person over email for a difficult conversation? Choose in person when the conversation involves strong emotion, a damaged relationship, performance issues, or anything where misreading tone could cause lasting harm.
Email works only for low-stakes issues or when you need a written record to anchor facts, never as a substitute for human presence in a charged situation.
How does the communication medium richness hierarchy work? The communication medium richness hierarchy ranks channels from richest to leanest in person, video call, phone call, email, and text message. The richer the medium, the more cues it carries. For a difficult conversation, you match the medium to the emotional weight. The harder the topic, the richer the channel you need. Can you send a difficult conversation by email if you prepare it carefully? You can use email for low to medium difficulty conversations if you compensate with extra clarity, a neutral tone, and a specific invitation to continue the discussion in person or by phone. For anything emotionally charged, email alone is rarely enough. It should supplement a richer conversation, not replace one. What should you do when a difficult conversation goes wrong mid-channel? Stop and switch. If a text exchange is escalating or an email thread is generating heat, move to a richer medium immediately. A short message, something like the one outlined in script 116 of Say It Right Every Time, signals respect and restores safety before more damage is done. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.